From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, a passage often called Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns is giving practical insights into the reality of true faith and how it manifests itself in the lives of God's believing people. The second message in the series is entitled The Twin Pillars of Faith. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Condition of Blessing. The text is Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Many read and plead this promise without noticing the condition upon which the blessing is promised. We cannot expect heaven to be opened or blessing poured out unless we pay our dues unto the Lord our God and to his cause. There would be no lack of funds for holy purposes if all professing Christians paid their fair share. Many are poor because they rob God. Many churches also miss the visitations of the Spirit because they starve their ministers. If there is no temporal meat for God's servants, we need not wonder if their ministry has but little food in it for our souls. When missions pine for means, and the work of the Lord is hindered by an empty treasury, how can we look for a large amount of soul prosperity? Come, come, what have I given of late? Have I been mean to my God? Have I stinted my Savior? This will never do. Let me give my Lord Jesus his tithe by helping the poor and aiding his work, and then I shall prove his power to bless me on a large scale.
Is my song of praise. from the golden streets of heaven to the shores of Galilee came a love song for all people, the music of eternity. And from a wooden cross, God sang His song of praise and filled the world with the sound of hope and everlasting praise. This shall be my Alleluia. This shall be my song of praise. This shall be my Alleluia. Jesus is my song of praise.
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
Today, Dr. Cairns begins his second message in a new series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith. So it is often referred to as faith's hall of fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in this day. Before dealing with the individuals named in the chapter, Dr. Cairns continues to lay the groundwork for the study. This message is called The Twin Pillars of the Faith, taking Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3 as the text. We'll see that there is God's witness to the faith of His people. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, biblical faith is not simply an acknowledgement of certain facts. It is a wholehearted embracing of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses of the chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own precious word for His name's sake. As we looked at Hebrews 11 and 1 last Sabbath morning, we learned that the word substance has the idea of confidence. The word evidence has in it the idea of conviction. So that faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The word has in it the notion also, and it was used in ancient times to carry this idea of the title deeds to your property. So it's such a confidence in the things we hope for that it is in our hand the very title deed of those things that God has promised. It is the evidence, the conviction, not a make-believe, but a God-planted conviction of things that the mortal eye cannot see. In other words, faith is sight. I was pointing out, if you recollect, that faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is the opposite to darkness and blindness. Faith is sight. The fact that it doesn't deal with the world of the natural, but the world of the supernatural, does not in any way detract from the reality of the things that faith perceives. And I took some time last Lord's Day morning to emphasize that faith deals in the world of spiritual, supernatural reality. Now, when we consider these two statements of verse 1, that it is the confidence, and I want you to notice these words, of things hoped for, our emphasis there is upon the Word of God. What we hope for in Scripture are the things that God has promised. Then it is the conviction of things not seen, but nonetheless real. There we are dealing with God's works. Now, faith ultimately comes down to these two things, God's Word and God's works. When you get that clearly in your heart and mind, I think then you'll be able to see what many commentators have had a hard time seeing, how with Paul's great purpose in this chapter, how he gets from verse 1 to the thought of verse 3. It seems to be somewhat incongruous to the rest of what he has got to say. But in actual fact, as usual, the Holy Ghost knows a lot better than the commentators. And you'll find that the idea of God's Word and God's work supplies the key. With regard to the Word of God, verse 2 tells us, by faith or literally in virtue of faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's a very good translation. But I want us to use the form that Paul used originally. Doesn't make very good English, but it makes the point I want to make this morning. Paul said literally, in virtue of this, the elders were witnessed to. Then, in regard to the work of God, verse 3 tells us that faith glories in God's work of creation as being the foundation of every other work. Now, I want us to think of these two things, verse 2 and verse 3 this morning, as the twin pillars of faith. And I can sum it up very simply. Verse 2 tells us that God believes in the faith of his people. Remember at the end of John chapter 2 that we read that there were many who believed in Christ, but he did not commit himself unto them. The words commit himself unto them mean he didn't believe in them. There were many who professed to believe in Jesus, but Jesus did not believe in them, and he didn't believe in their faith. It was a false faith. It was a faith in signs. It was a faith that was rooted in the sensual, not in the spiritual. It was a faith that was out to grab earthly prosperity, but had no sight of the glories of the Lamb, and it had no heart for eternal reality. Any man's religion that is rooted in the sensual, rooted in the material, rooted in the temporal, may go under the name of faith to man, but God does not believe in that faith. But here we are told concerning his people that they are witness to. God believes in the faith of his people. Verse 2 and verse 3. The faith of his people believes in God. There you've got the summary of these twin pillars of faith. I want us to think of those in order. First, God's witness to his people's faith. When you think of it, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you were to go through all 1,189 of them, you would find that a great number are given over, totally or in part, to this witness which the Lord is raising up to the faith of his people. You go through the Old Testament and then the New Testament, and again, God is giving us a divine record of people who believed him and who through faith in him did mighty things on the earth for his glory. God witnesses to the faith of his people. And it's still true today. If you're one of God's people, he witnesses to your faith. First of all, he witnesses to the existence of the faith of his people. Actually, I believe that is the basic meaning of the text. When it says, by it, or in virtue of this faith, the elders were witness to, I think it's saying that the Lord witnessed that they were true believers. When I stopped to think of this, it struck me very forcibly that when the Lord wanted to witness to these people, now, they had done mighty things. They were men, and if you read on through this chapter, you'll see what they did. They were men who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, and so on down. They did mighty things, important things. But when the Lord came to give his witness to them, before he ever said a word about their works, He witnessed to the fact that they were believers. That's the all-important thing. I don't want to get away off on a side issue, but I can't let it go without a word. We are told by dispensationalists of the wilder sort that these Old Testament believers got saved by keeping the law, whereas you and I got saved by grace through faith. I find here that they got saved the very same way that I got saved, by the same God, through the same merit, and by means of faith. And the object of faith in Scripture is always the same. It is a strange quirk of Bible interpretation to say that in the Old Testament it was God who was the object of faith, and in the New Testament it is Christ who's the object of faith. That's nonsense. For the simple reason that from the beginning of time, yes, indeed, from the very beginning even of the angelic creation, no creature has ever had any dealings with God except in and through the Word of God, the Son of God. He is the Logos. He is the expression of God. He is, therefore, if you want it, the creature's point of contact with God. And God, as the object of faith, must always mean God in the person of His Son revealed. The Old Testament believers were saved by faith. But notice this. The world wants to emphasize what men do. It wants to think that men are because of what they do. And the world celebrates wondrous exploits. And of course, this carries over into the religious realm. And there is the notion that if you do enough, then God is going to be mightily pleased with it. Oh, that we would learn this morning that the very first thing the Lord is interested in your life is the existence of faith in Jesus Christ. You may boast about what you've done, about the churches you've belonged to, about the spiritual interest that you've taken and all the rest of it. But the Lord is looking for the one thing, first and foremost, and that is a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's important to me that I'm a Presbyterian. It's important to me that I'm a Protestant. It's important to me that I'm a receiver of Reformed theology, what they call the doctrines of grace. Though, mind you, I don't really like to hear people muttering that little phrase. They have made it nearly into, I'll not go into that. But anyway, those things are important to me. But there are people who had all those things and they're in hell today. I personally have met people and they were all that I have said. But they were without Christ. The Bible never says, be a good Presbyterian and you'll get to heaven. It never says be a good Calvinist and you'll get to heaven. But it does say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God is looking for faith. And where he doesn't find the existence of saving faith, he finds a soul that's lost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.